Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, everyone. This is Chris with the Real Life Mentoring Podcast. And we've had Todd Vincent on with us before, but we have him again today. And I'm doing this solo because my wife is out today. This podcast is about giving people tools, experiences, some insight, and how to be an effective mentor. Actually, how to engage, develop, and enjoy meaningful relationships at the same time. And so Todd's going to share with us today a tool that he's learned and he uses as a coach called the Five Gears tool. Is that correct, Todd?
Yeah, Five Gears.
Okay. Even though you've been on with us before, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, Todd Vincent with Overlander Consulting. I work with seasoned guys that are wanting to lead themselves and other people better, whether it's in business, nonprofits, or churches. I think for me, realized that the five gears for me was a good tool on self-awareness. And I say this all the time, if I'm not leading myself well, I am not very good at coaching or leading other people or being the type of person that's present and engaged in my family and my marriage. And so I love old Land Cruisers. I just love Land Cruisers across the board. And the old Land Cruisers, it's got the five speed. If you think about five gears, you've got to be in the right gear at the right time. I can't roll out of my driveway in fifth gear. It goes slow. It makes a terrible noise going down the driveway, down the street before I get out to the highway. And everyone around me wonders what in the world I'm doing. Same thing, if I downshift out on the highway down into first gear, I'm either going to get probably run over or have so much heat and friction on my transmission that I'm going to burn up my clutch and have bigger mechanical problems. But same thing relationally, if I'm in the wrong gear at the wrong time, I've got one opportunity to get it right, but I've got 100 opportunities to blow it and miss out on having some influence and impact with people. I spent a good part of my life just living in overdrive, and people and relationships were just flying past me that I missed out because I didn't have the awareness that I needed to be in a different gear than what I was in at the moment.
Todd, when I think about the work that we do with mentoring, life really is about relationships. And for me, it's about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And then it's about relationships with people.
Yeah.
And so you've spoken into that just a bit already. Take us through this tool. And what I like about tools like this is that it actually helps me to be self-aware. Mm-hmm. It helps me to make some changes that are important and necessary. But when I make changes myself, I impact those relationships closest to me.
Yeah.
In my family, in my marriage, in friendships, in the workplace, at church, wherever. Mm-hmm. And so giving people simple and effective tools like this is one of the things I love to do in mentoring. So you take the lead here on this and take us through this five gears tool.
Okay. Well, I love the parable in the Bible that Jesus and the disciples are out on a 15-mile run together. And he's teaching them the whole time they're running at about a 5-minute mile. Do you remember that parable?
I don't.
You know why?
Hey, thanks for putting me on the spot.
You know why you don't remember that parable?
Why?
Because what's the pace that Jesus spent most of his time doing? Walking.
You said a run. It took a run. I thought, I don't remember that. I'm glad I said that. Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
He walked at about 3 miles per hour. And yeah, he worked hard and he did long hours and he did amazing things. But he went at the speed of relationship, and the pace that we can walk at and just walk is about 3 miles per hour. And so that's the part that later in life I've learned is that things happen at the speed of relationship, as my friend Rennie Cook says. And so a lot of time they were sitting by a fire or they were having a meal. There was a story about a lady he was at someone's house and she was blowing and going in the kitchen trying to get things done. And he goes, Martha, 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 basically, hey, won't you come sit down here for a minute? Yeah, I appreciate all the things you're doing here, but Mary here is sitting here with me. And so for me, the five gears. Fifth gear is focus mode. I mean, it's being locked in and working on a project or a task, being, you know, just fully engaged. Fourth gear is task mode, maybe multitasking. Maybe you're returning some emails, you're uploading a file, you're sending some stuff off to some people, you're checking things off your list. So you're doing multiple things at a time. Third gear is being in social mode. So maybe it's you're in the office or you've gone over to reload your coffee cup and you're having some conversation with someone there. Just kind of small talk and socializing as you go on down the gears. Number two is connection mode. So it may not be two or three people you're having a conversation with. It's really some one-on-one connection. It could be with one of your kids, it could be a dear friend, it can be your spouse. You shift on down into first gear, and that's recharge. So it's rest, which is the topic that we've been talking about here on our last podcast. It's recovery. It's some personal recharge. And then sometimes you find yourself in a place that you didn't mean to get. And there's also this R over there that means reverse. I got to back up, which is a responsive mode. I've gotten somewhere I didn't really intend to be. I need to back up. Maybe backing up means I need to apologize to you for an offense or an unintended consequence. And so I've got to back up and ask for your forgiveness and apologize for that. And hey, can we figure out a way that we can do that better in the future? Or just having some self-awareness that, you know what, I didn't mean to have that. I didn't mean to do that or say that, and I apologize. So each of those gears are important. If you think about a situation in family, you may have one person. I know for me, when my wife is locked in the kitchen getting dinner ready or company coming over, it's not necessarily the best time for me to give her my latest dad joke or come in and try to, you know, kiss her on the forehead or on the neck when she's got three or four pots going. And it's like, you know what? That's not the best time to do that. Now, I've done that, and I've done that for years. And then I realized why she was mad or frustrated or not wanting to be really affectionate. Well, hey, Todd, read the room. She's in multitask mode.
Okay. So that would be which category? The task mode?
I would say if she's cooking dinner, she's probably in fourth gear and task mode. Or if she's in here paying bills, I'm sitting at her desk right now and she is got the checkbook out and she's doing online banking. It's not the time for me to talk about what we're going to be doing this weekend or where she wants to go out, me take her out to dinner for a date night. Hey, she's in fifth gear. What I like about these, you can almost use these like baseball signals. If she walks in or I walk in the kitchen and see her in here and she looks at me and does this, she's showing me five fingers, which also may mean wait. If I don't see that and I keep giving her a hard time, she might give me one finger instead of five. And that's not her telling me, number one, it's back off, buddy. I am focus mode. I'm getting stuff done. And so I love a story that Jeremy Kubitschek shared with one of the guys that he works with. They were at an event and really they were in social mode. They're having conversation and just connecting with people. And one of the guys he works with came over and he, oh man, I had this idea. I want to share with you this with real quick on something they're working on. He just looks at him and he does this. Hey, we're in third gear right now. He goes, oh yeah. Hey, sorry. I'll talk about that later when we get back to the office. And so just learning what your rhythm is, what someone else's rhythm, being able to read the room and see what gear I need to be in. I mean, sometimes with men, it's easy to just check out and doom scroll on my phone when people are in the room or someone's over. It's like, you know what? I need to go sit my phone down and go socialize and engage with that person. It may be you and I, we've coached and talked all day long. And the last thing I want to do is to have another deep conversation because my emotions are fried. Okay. But right now in this moment, I need to be over there and have that conversation and be present and engaged. And so I can think about the gear shift and being in the right gear at the right time. I think we learn that by being in the wrong gear at the wrong time. And we see how it's diminished our influence, how it's impacted relationships. And as you use this in your own life, you use it in conversations with your family or people at work, And just having a common tool and a common language, it helps people sync up a lot better. And so whether you've got glass walls in your office and you've got a dry erase and you put 5 on there right now, hey, I've got to be blocked out from 10 to 11:30 on this project. Now, you can't stay in fifth gear all day long and always have your door shut and the blinds down. You gotta come up for air, and there's other people that need you. But for me, it took me looking at my calendar and looking at all the colors on my Google Calendar that week. What is my rhythm? Not what I want it to be. What is it actually? Okay. What would be more healthy and more productive if I did that in a better way that had a smoother gear shift pattern throughout my day? And it may be a little wonky at first to learn how to do that, but I've got friends that even color code their day in first through fifth gear. Okay. Hey, you know, this is, as soon as I get up in the morning, this is some recharge mode. I've got 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever, and recharge. Then I'm going to move into connect. I've tried over the last couple of years. I didn't always have the luxury. I try not to start responding to email before 9 o'clock in the morning, and then quit by the time I walk in for dinner, whether it's 5 or 6 o'clock. Ideally, you know, by 5 o'clock, my phone goes in focus mode. And unless your hair is on fire, there's an emergency, you're not going to hear from me till the next day. I mean, there's always exceptions to that, but to put those rhythms in place so you can feel the benefit of shifting and having some sustainable rhythms, it's better on your transmission, your clutch, your engine, metaphorically, as much as it is, you know, the hardwiring things in your body. If I can operate in 5 gears in a smooth way, and it certainly has that impact relationally with the people in my circle of influence.
Okay, Todd, is it fair to say, because this the 5 gears, this is I've heard of this before, probably through you, but I've not taken time to really know it and understand it until right now. Is it fair to say that in a typical day, I actually want to a shift in first, second, third, fourth, and fifth gear, but the reverse, it's not necessary that I always have to be in reverse. It depends on the
that
situation.
Gear's there, and it's there's a time and a place for reverse.
Okay.
And if you're not using reverse, you probably lack some self-awareness, and you probably run over some people metaphorically.
Okay. So on a typical work day, you know, I put my schedule together for a week. Would you say this is healthy? I need to have in my typical day, work day, we're just talking about work for a moment, first gear, recharge mode, second gear, connect mode, third gear, social mode, fourth gear, task mode, fifth gear, focus mode. Is that healthy, would you say, in a typical work day?
Yeah, I think at some point of the day, we've got to be in each of those gears, sometimes multiple times. If you're looking at this infographic, there's also a little bitty white spaces in here for some gaps. You know, even if it's you can do smart scheduling on your Google Calendar and you can book in, you know, 5 to 10 minutes. You can't see if you're coaching or counseling, you can't book someone every single hour and go, 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 go. You've got to have some margins in there because you've got to move up into relational and you've got to move on up into some deeper conversations. There is a pattern and a rhythm that needs to happen there, and you've got to book in the time for those things to physically happen in your car. You can't go blazing at 70 miles an hour in my Land Cruiser out of my driveway down my residential street to get out to Highway 9 on the I-35. There is a physical shift that happens there, and even relationally, there's a relational and emotional shift that has to happen. So to answer your question, yeah, you've got to be throughout the day, learn how to shift more smoothly. And you and I can both remember getting in a car. I actually learned how to drive a standard at school, and it goes, this is where you're going to learn. This is where you're going to start. And I'm going, oh my gosh. So I learned real quick how to push in the clutch, release the brake, and learn pretty wonky. It's really amazing. I didn't burn up the transmission, but I learned pretty quick how to do that gear shift. It took me years, many years later, to learn how to do this relationally with people.
I have a similar story. I believe I was 14 or 15. live in a very small town, and an uncle of mine, he and his wife owned a convenience store in this small town. And I say small town because in small towns in Oklahoma at the time, you could get away with some things you can't get away with in larger cities.
Right.
Like driving, okay?
Like driving when you're 12.
So I'd never driven a standard shift vehicle at all. And so my uncle, and he didn't, he had no warm fuzzies about himself. He was very matter of fact. And I did not know him well at all. And he kind of made me nervous. And so I was working part-time, and he said, Chris, do you know how to drive a standard? And I lied and said, yes. Because as a boy, wanting to be a man, I didn't want to admit, it was like something was wrong with me if I did not know how to shift gears in a truck.
Right.
So I said, oh, yeah, I know how to do that. And so I was with him in this truck at the time, and I'm watching him. Okay, when he does this, I had no language for it. When he does this with his hand, meaning the gear shift, he pushes in this foot. I thought, oh, I can do that. Mm-hmm. No big deal. So he backs up the truck to the edge of his convenience store on the side. And he said, I want you to load all of this junk and then take it and dump it. You know, I thought, okay, I can do that. Now I say this because in my ignorance, I caused some damage. In my ignorance today, unless I know these five gears, know myself and know others, I can do some damage in relationships. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. And I would add to that too. You could even look at that little plate in the old cars that had that gear shift, and eventually you could figure it out. But man, how much better would it be if someone actually taught you and I how to do that before, hey, just go figure it out.
Had I been honest with my uncle, and he probably could have given me a 10-minute tutorial, whatever, you know, probably
teach
not.
Me.
He wasn't very
patient. He's going to shame me and jump all over me. At least teach me.
So just to clarify, he goes into the store to take care of business, and I load the junk and I start the truck up, and it starts moving backwards slowly, and I'm hitting the brake. Do you know what I didn't know what to do? You have to hit the clutch as well, correct?
Yeah, right.
The clutch and the brake work together that way.
Right.
And I kept hitting the brake and nothing is changing. It keeps rolling back. Well, it crunched the side of the metal building, the convenience store.
Yeah.
And I thought, I turn the truck off. I get out. I look and, okay, it's been damaged. So I go inside and I said, Uncle Bill, I really didn't know how to drive a standard. And I crunched the building. Anyway, it wasn't a big deal, but it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, I thought about that situation. As soon as you're talking about this, I could really handle relationships in situations so much more effectively and enjoyably if I know what gear I need to be in at the right time.
And if I just take a picture of this and text you this picture and hoping you figure it out, that's not mentoring. That's just me giving you some information.
Okay.
Well, mentoring is actually me getting in the truck with you and you being in the passenger seat and me explain to you where my hands are, where my feet are, where I'm going with this, feel the little notch there before it shifts over, release the clutch, do all those things. That's mentoring. And even maybe letting you shift while I'm still in the driver's seat and my feet are working the clutch and the gas before I ever put you into the driver's seat. And maybe I need to get you out in the parking lot at the Lloyd Noble at OU and not have you on I-35 getting onto the on-ramp before you learn how to do that.
Well, that's well said.
But how many times we do that? Oh, here's the book. Go do that. And then get back with me and let me know how that worked out. Well,
okay,
I can tell you exactly how it's going to work out.
Todd, here's another. It's embarrassing. It's just part of my past. I'm 18 years old. I'd never driven a standard still at this point. Mm-hmm. And I go to...
You still haven't driven a standard
Oh, no,
yet.
Believe me. I learned. My wife, when we got married, she had a standard Honda. And so I had to learn. I think I may have learned before then, but I wasn't the best at it. And then we moved to Europe and I was given a minivan with a 5-speed in Europe. And most of it is only parallel parking. So, man, it ate my lunch.
Yeah.
But when I was 18, again, ignorance and knowing how to shift gears, how it all worked, I go to test drive some cars in a town that was a lot larger than what I was living in. And the dealership was right off this busy, busy road. And I told the salesman, I'd like to test drive this car. Well, I get in there and realize it's a 5-speed.
Oh.
Now, I had probably had a little bit of practice. I should not have been test driving that car. He let me go by myself. So
I two bad decisions.
I pulled out of the parking lot and try to get onto this street. And I get on because it's really busy. And I go into this neighborhood and it wraps around. And to get back on that busy street, to get back to the dealership, there was a hill with a stop sign. Mm-hmm. What's the problem with the hill with a 5-speed?
Yeah, you're going to roll back a little bit.
You're going to roll back, and you have to maneuver and manage the clutch and the brake just right, correct? Or the gas?
It's called finesse.
Ooh, I did not have that experience, and I kept rolling back, and the car would die. After about 5 tries, I backed up, turned around, and went the long way back around so I could avoid the hill. So I caused myself major stress. Mm-hmm. I caused myself more work and time, wasted time, out of not knowing how to do that.
Yeah,
I don't want to do that with my relationships and my work and my personal life today, Todd. I want to know something like this, and I want to know it well and know how to adjust myself and be in the right gear at the right time.
Well, let me hijack your podcast here and turn it around and ask you the question then. How can you take this tool to help you as you train other mentors?
Okay, now you put me on the spot. First, I have to look at myself. I know, and I actually wrote this down earlier, you said something, I have walked ahead of other people at times instead of walking beside them. I have, now I say that, not physically I've done that as well, but mentally or emotionally, I have just pushed through, okay? Mm-hmm. Instead of putting myself next to them where they currently are in their maturity level.
Yeah.
Come on, you can do this. That's not so effective, Todd.
Yeah, it's not, is it?
No, it's not, you know, and they may go along with it for a little bit, but after a while, it's going to stress the relationship and they're going to want to pull away.
Absolutely.
So there is a balance in being where they are, but then helping challenge them to move forward, right? To shift gears.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a passage and I can't remember right now, but it talks about the shepherd knowing the condition of his flock. So you and I might be capable of spending a lot of time in fifth gear, but you know what? The people that we're with, where they are right now, we need some second gear time, or we need some third gear time and celebrating some of the things that they're done and where they're at. And so it may be downshifting a lot of the time for a while until we can get them to the point that they can operate at that same capacity.
I will say this came to my mind when you asked the question, Chris, how can you use this with mentoring? When I meet a guy for the first time, it's a connect mode. Okay. I want to know, tell me some of your story. And that also bleeds over into the social mode. There have been some men that I've allowed them to stay in the connect mode and social mode too long.
Right.
They need to move forward in an area of their life that causes them fear or stress. And I have allowed myself to let them stay in those modes too long at times. And that's not actually healthy.
Yeah.
So I have to, okay, we're going to move into a task mode. Today we're going to work on you stepping out of this area of your comfort zone because it's hindering you. And so, but it's interesting. I've done that and I would shift back down to third, two. I'd feel some stress coming from them. I'd shift down to two. The connect mode to say, remember, I'm with you. You're doing great, but we got to get into fourth gear at some point in this situation. Does that make sense?
Well, you use that. Yeah. And we even use that in our language. Hey, let's shift gears here for a little bit. I mean, we use that all the time in our language. And when you go, oh, yeah, this is actually what we're doing when I say that, even though I may not be aware of it.
So you can have some people who are not self-aware and they're just not. They're not effective in healthy relationships, and they can be so task or focus mode that it can be like in the connect mode. Hi, I'm Chris. How are you? Okay, we need to get this done. And they go, what?
And let's sign this contract. Let's get those projects done. Yeah,
I've worked with people like that, and it's exhausting to me.
So, and I've been that person and been exhausting to other people before.
Yes, I have. I have as well.
I'm frustrated. They're frustrated, and you know what? We are not optimized as a team because we are all in different gears at different times. And as a leader, I'm not doing a very good job of assessing where we're at. Yeah, as a visionary, I know where I want to be, but where are we today and what needs to happen for us to take that next step and make some progress?
I recently had a conversation with a friend, and a dynamic has changed, and it needed to. But then I went back to him the next week or maybe 2 weeks later, and I said, hey, I want to just remind you that what you're doing is still just as important as it ever has mm-hmm. been. It's just different now. So mm-hmm. 2 weeks before, I was effective in how I said it. But the more I thought about it, I thought, you know what? I need to put it in reverse when we meet again and just remind him, I know your position's changed some, but I want mm-hmm. to tell you, it's still just as important as it was before. Yeah. It's just different.
Yeah. And every one of those gears are important. You got to have all of them.
And you know what? When someone puts it, they go in reverse and they take time to apologize or to clarify something for me, it always encourages me to go, wow, thank you for that.
Well, there's been times. Yeah, I guess I'm thinking you're having that conversation. And I remember when I had a car that my transmission went out and I didn't have a first gear. And so I had to back out and back down the street and turn around till I had enough that I could get turned around and then nurse it on up into second gear just to get to the gas station. And second gear was all that I had. I was really afraid that I was going to have to go and reverse all the way to the service station. So, man, if you're missing one of those physically, it's a problem. If you're missing one of those related, it's equally as a problem.
Yes, I agree. Any other thoughts you have on this before we start closing?
No, I'm going to stop sharing the screen if that's okay, unless you want to leave it up.
Share these again. If you'll go through 1 through 5 and then add in the reverse.
Okay. First gear is recharge mode. So to recap, it's rest, recovery, and some personal recharge. Second gear is connect mode, which means going deeper with someone, having deep bonding, authentic conversations. Third gear is social mode. So it's the water cooler or around the coffee pot, chit chat, socializing conversations. Fourth gear is a multitask. You're in task mode. You're doing your to-do list. You're managing people or things on your checklist. And then fifth gear is your focus mode. And so that's being in the zone and, man, cranking things off and getting things done. So, and then if you look up and I'm in the wrong gear at the wrong time, I may need to hit reverse and back up. But if you're looking at this too, just another recap is look at this as play calling signals. Once you've shared this tool with someone else, hey, I can even text you, hey, you want to go get coffee? And you can say, hey, Todd, I'm in fifth gear today or for the next couple hours. Today is not the best day. Hey, maybe tomorrow afternoon we could go grab coffee or even, let's just get on the Zoom call because I won't be offended. I'll realize, oh yeah, he's got a short week. He's needing to get some stuff done. Hey, yeah, let's just hop on a quick call and we'll have our coffee at home. So if you can start using that as play calling signals with the people that you're with, or, hey, my wife asked me to do something and say, hey, yeah, just give me 20 minutes. Okay. Let me wrap this up and then I'll hop over there and I would be happy to do that for you. She's being heard. My time's being respected. We can understand. Okay. Yeah, that's going to happen. It may not drop everything, do it right now. Now, if the house is on fire, I need to drop everything right now and address that issue. But using that with some play calling, it sure helps you move on down the field and do that in a healthy way when you can have some healthy shift patterns.
Okay, you made me think of this. I have allowed people at times to shift my own gears. So I'm in the driver's seat.
Absolutely.
And they're in the passenger seat. And here's a couple of problems, just mechanically. Mm-hmm. If you have a person in the passenger seat shifting gears, you better have good coordination with pushing in as the driver the clutch.
Yeah.
okay? Yeah. Or it grinds and it doesn't go anywhere. But I have allowed, I've allowed certain people at times to do the shifting and put me in different gears, and that wears me out. It frustrates me. It's not good.
So, and it's not narcissism or a power struggle, but you're the one in the driver's seat, and you've got to have some healthy boundaries there, and you're the one driving, not the person riding shotgun.
Yeah,
but we do. We allow people to hijack us and take over our gears, and that's not healthy either.
Yeah,
it's dangerous.
I've allowed people to, and it's my issue. I've allowed some people to put me in a different gear, and I felt guilty if I didn't do that.
Yeah,
which is actually ridiculous. Thank goodness for the most part.
That's good awareness on your part. Oh no, who's driving here?
I don't live that way, but I do visit there sometimes. Okay,
Todd, I understand.
How do people get in touch with you? How do they access this tool, the 5 gears?
Okay. You can just come to overlanderconsulting.com and can navigate through some of the offerings, and you can see where you can hop on and do a 5 gears assessment or peace index or, you know, doing the 5 voices. All those are really good foundational tools that give you some self-awareness to begin leading yourself better. If you want someone to help you, coach you through that and talk about kind of the apprentice square that we talked about here today, those are the things that, man, I love pouring into people that are leading others, but they realize that they've got to make some changes in themselves first for them to be more effective. So really, overlanderconsulting.com is the easiest place to catch me. Then you can go down the rabbit hole on any other social media channels that you want.
Sounds good. Well, Todd, thank you for today. And guys, we have a corporate sponsor for today's podcast episode. The Real Life Mentoring Podcast is brought to you today by Shelter Insurance, the Aaron Reese Company. His agency offers auto, home, life, and business insurance, and they strive to build real relationships. And I know this firsthand because he is our agent, and it's the real deal. So thank you again for listening to us. Share our podcast with others if you would, and I hope it gives you some examples, some experience, some ideas, some tools on how to be not only a more effective mentor, but to step into relationships and help create meaningful, healthy relationships in your own life. So once again, thank you guys, and we'll see you next time.